This is Classic Rain number 13 for January 17th, 2020. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. Relations between the U.S. Amateur Radio Service and the Federal Communications Commission soured greatly in the late 1980s in the wake of the Commission's reallocation of the bottom 2 megahertz of the 220 to 225 megahertz amateur band. Many felt the FCC was literally auctioning spectrum off to the highest bidder. And in fact, according to Ben Cobb, KC5CW, founder and publisher of the Federal Communications Tech News in Washington, D.C., it would have liked to have done just that. RAIN founder Hap Holly, KC9RP, spoke with Ben about his concerns in 1989.
The FCC's official position has been for some years that the radio spectrum should be auctioned off. It should simply be sold. And that all of these questions about the public interest and whether or not the FCC can really make a decision about what service should be granted spectrum and what service should not, all these problems that we have with the way the FCC does its job could be solved by doing one thing, so the story goes, and that is allowing the FCC to just sell the spectrum and keep the money for the public treasury. The Congress in 1982... declared that the FCC shall not auction the spectrum. It shall not sell it off like this. How does this affect 220? I think very directly, Hap. The FCC's reasoning for reallocating 220 to 222 was that it was underutilized, simply not enough usage of it. Well, there happens to be 6 megahertz of spectrum in the 900 megahertz band that is completely unused. It's not underutilized, it's unutilized. It's already been allocated to land mobile radio. Package delivery services and every other kind of mobile radio commercial enterprise could use it, but there's nothing there. No licenses, no rules. It's been sitting vacant since the time of Adam and Eve. Well, why didn't they put the package delivery service there? Why did they have to go disturb and dislocate amateur radio when there's 6 megahertz up there at 900 sitting unused? Well, the reason is the FCC would like to auction that spectrum. They'd like to sell it, but they can't because the Congress said, we don't think that's a good idea, don't do that. So the FCC is basically just sitting on those frequencies and apparently prefers to come over to 220 and dislocate a substantial amount of investment as well as public service opportunity for ham radio rather than go up to those frequencies. Specifically, by the way, those are 901 to 902, 940 to 941, 849 to 851, 894 to 896 megahertz. Nobody there. I think it's a crying shame that Congress hasn't been alerted to that fact. Now, the FCC feels that 220 to 222 is underutilized. Here's a band that's completely vacant. Obviously, people who have invested heavily in 220 to 222 megahertz equipment are going to be hurt by this. One group that comes to mind particularly is the Condor Connection in California, which is just an outstanding system. I read a lot of the comments and petitions that came into the FCC on 220 as they would stack up every day in huge stacks over there. I think the Condor Connection people did a fabulous job of communicating very, very precisely what the problems were. I wonder if there's going to be life after 220. Are we focusing on this a little bit too strongly? There's going to come some time when we'll have to put all this behind us and keep moving. If you're driving a car and you're focusing on a bug that's sitting on your dashboard, you're going to crash because you're not looking where you're going. So even though there is economic injury, and even though there is injury to the public interest, I'm interested in how can we look beyond to improve amateur radio and improve our relationship with the FCC, even though we don't like what they did, and I believe that they will, in fact, do it, and I don't think that they're going to be forced into changing their mind. There's a lot of challenges down the road for us. I recall reading in a QST editorial that after this reallocation, the relationship between the FCC and amateur radio will never be the same. It's unfortunately true, but I hope that the relationship can improve. It's got to improve. Whether we like it or not, amateur radio and the FCC are married. There's no divorce in this relationship. You have to get along or you're not going to be happy at all. And there's going to be problems in the future that we'll need the FCC's help on. So I hope the relationship can be one of friends and not enemies.
You're listening to a short conversation between RAIN founder Hap Holly, KC9RP, and Ben Cobb, KC9CW, founder and publisher of the Federal Communications Tech News back in 1989. Ben will conclude his thoughts as to just where the FCC was headed 30 years ago in a moment. This is Classic RAIN number 13. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Classic RAIN from www.therainreport.com.
We've got things coming down the line. We've got HDTV, high-definition television. If you don't know those terms, you certainly should, because HDTV has set Washington absolutely on fire. It's declared as the greatest invention in recent years, something that's necessary for national security, something that's going to bring back America's dominance in consumer electronics that we lost to the Japanese and to the Koreans, something that will create thousands and thousands of jobs. The government's talking about $100 million a year in government aid money for HDTV manufacturers and entrepreneurs. And here comes along amateur radio. Amateur radio causes problems with TV reception sometimes. RFI problems, TVI. Do we think the Congress and the FCC are going to allow amateur radio to continue to interfere with television when HDTV has this monumental importance? I think we're going to need help there. We're going to need some understanding on the part of manufacturers of sets. We're going to need an FCC that will use its authority to require TV set manufacturers to shield their sets and to make them immune to signals that they're not supposed to pick up. But right now, it's HDTV is the big word here, and that anything that interferes or impedes HDTV is not going to be looked upon as something that they can get excited about. I think that RFI and TVI has continued to be a big problem for us as consumer electronic devices get more sophisticated, as more and more people install VCRs and so on. We have to be careful that ham radio does not, in the future, become perceived as something that's not compatible with the urban environment, kind of like having a cow, a sheep, and goats in your backyard. It's something that interferes with your neighbor's enjoyment of his property and something that rightfully belongs in the country. Maybe an amateur tower and antenna will be put in the same category in people's minds in the future. I think we have to work against that. We have to show that ham radio is not an eccentric pursuit, but it's something that has public service potential. It contributes to education. It contributes to youth. And if we can't show those things, if we aren't competent in our public relations, then we're going to find ourselves closed out of more and more spectrum as the FCC finds other services that it feels are more important to have that spectrum. So I'm interested in our relationship with the commission improving.
What would the future hold if the amateur service was successful in reversing the commission's partial reallocation of the 220 band?
It depends on what means by which it would happen, whether it would be an appeals court or whether it would be a reconsideration by the FCC, by the full commission, and that it would affect what the outcome would be. But I don't think there's any question but that the amateur service would certainly come out much stronger in its appearance and general influence at the FCC if by one means or another the reallocation were to be overturned. Certainly the amateur service would be seen as a formidable opponent in the area of spectrum allocations if the reallocation were to be overturned. But as far as impact on the mobile radio industry, it would close a valve that the FCC, I think, would prefer to see open, because if the land mobile services were not allowed to occupy a spectrum at 220, then they would have to go somewhere, because there's a continuing pressure on the commission to grant more spectrum to commercial land mobile radio. The advent of high-definition television is very relevant here, because the FCC decided, after tremendous lobbying by the broadcast industry, that no additional sharing of spectrum between UHF television and land mobile radio would be permitted for the foreseeable future. So that is a quantity of spectrum, especially in the major markets, that is foreclosed from the mobile service. Fortunately for them, the FCC reallocated spectrum to them at 220. If it then closed off that option, there would be very substantial political pressure building up that could harm amateur radio in other ways. All of this is highly speculative, very much of a fictional scenario.
The thoughts of Ben Cobb, KC9CW, founder and publisher of the Federal Communications Tech News in Washington, D.C., back in the late 80s. Unfortunately, the late 80s reallocation of 220 to 222 megahertz was never reinstated in the U.S. amateur service. This concludes Classic Rain number 13 for January 17, 2020. Classic Rain number 14 will be posted January 31st. Classic Rain is copyright 1988-2020 Rain. All rights reserved. Now for Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from all of us connected with RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. Keep on hamming.